away from us. Is that what you want?
No, I don't, actually. That's a good call. What do you think, like that? You think that'll work?
It does.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute. Oh, it's been recording the whole time.
I got a mouthful of pretzel. You want to tell them where we are today, since we keep taking them on location?
I could skip this if you want. Wait till you're done
eating.
No,
it's okay.
I didn't know you were still eating.
I don't mind. It's okay.
I'm sorry. So we're coming to you live from New York City on West 38th Street and 5th Ave, does that say?
Yeah, it's 5th Avenue, right next to Lauren Taylor.
We dropped our daughter off at a Girl Scouts meeting of some sort, some kind of...
World Thinking Day.
Some kind of Skull and Bones type Girl Scouts event. So we're waiting out here for her
sitting
for
in
about
the car.
2 hours. We got to wait for her. So we figured... Two and a half?
4 o'clock.
That's nice. Nice to tell me after I park.
I told you.
So anyway, so while we're here, we figured we'd record a couple episodes.
I got a dirty water hot dog and a pretzel from the guy at the street because I haven't eaten anything yet today, which is always seems to be the case.
Just to be clear, the hot dog was garbage.
It was the worst
hot
dog
I've
ever had.
That was the worst hot dog.
It was really
the one
worst.
Time in like 30 years I don't have mustard and onions. And now I taste what they're actually... Now I can taste the actual hot dog.
Yeah, it was gross. It was fairly disgusting and it was all mushy. Like the bun.
Don't spend too much time on the hot dog.
I want to talk about this hot dog, but it was $2.
Oh, that's cheap.
It's usually like $3.50, so it was $2.
So he knows. He's like, you can't spend too much on... I was just about to do a really racist accent. I stopped myself. I can't possibly ask for more than $2 for this disgusting hot dog.
Pretzel was $3.
That I keep under my bed at night.
All right, let's do this.
So we're up to minute 65, I believe.
Yes.
Correct? Minute 65 starts with a bright light that fades to reveal Rachel's beautiful face. And it ends with Rachel nervously looking toward Deckard and then back down at the floor.
Yes. You want to talk about her face? How she's crying?
She's crying?
Well, her face
she's still
is
nervous,
all wet.
She's killing Leon, right?
It's probably a lot of things that are going through her mind.
Well, she just came in out
of
the rain,
someone.
Didn't she?
It could be just the rain, but I don't see it as just the rain.
Sweat. It's adrenaline.
Because when she's looking at him later, you see all her mascara underneath her eyes. Mm-hmm. But she didn't have the trails. You're right. She didn't have the trails leading down her face like mascara, but that's because those are really ugly cries.
It's the sanitation truck that was spraying out
the steam
that Leon punched through.
I think she's crying.
It got all over her face.
She's probably upset. She had a whole bunch of tears going down her face. She looked like she was crying after she shot Leon when she walked towards Deckard. You know, after Leon was on
Definitely.
Top of him.
Definitely. Deckard even alluded to it. He's like, you got the shakes. You okay? It happens. It's part of the business, or it comes with the business. And the last thing Rachel said in minute 64 was, I'm not in the business. Right?
She says that here.
No, no, no. In this one, she says...
No, she says it here.
No, honey.
Yeah, because I was just taking the minutes.
No, sweetie pie. In the last one, she said... Remember, and I wished that we could combine... That minute and this minute, because I wanted to hear the whole line together. She says, I'm not in the business. I am the business.
I just wrote it. Where did I write it?
You probably started too early. That's okay. That minute, 64, ended.
Because we didn't talk about... No, that was the beginning of this minute. He had just... At the end of last minute, he said, it comes with the business. She looks at him. She's crying. Deck looks like he doesn't know what to do. And then she says, I am the business. And the music starts to change.
Yeah, sweetie, we're talking about two different things. In the last minute, she says, I'm not in the business.
Yes, but in this
in
minute,
this
she,
one,
says,
she says,
I
am
the business.
I just said that.
Oh, I thought you said she said, I am the business in the last minute.
Nine.
I must have tuned you out.
Nine.
I'm sorry.
He's not even listening to me.
No, I'm not. But they're going to listen to you.
So the camera cuts back and forth between Rachel and Deckard in the beginning of the scene.
But can we talk about this line?
A few times. Deckard seems enamored with her. He's staring at her. And I think it's because she's so emotional
and
vulnerable at this moment.
And he doesn't know what to do.
Because he seems like surprised and concerned. Surprised maybe because he's never really given a shit about a replicant before or had a reason to. Because he probably just spots them in a crowd and shoots them in the back and watches them fly through a mall window.
Yeah, but he obviously felt bad about it when he did it too. Like he...
So you think this is the first... Well, no, Zora's the first one that...
I think
because he had a conversation with Zora, he spoke to her. He had a few moments with Zora. He could have just backed off.
No, what I think part of what he's looking at her, he's like one of those. He's a man who doesn't know what to do with this woman who's showing all these emotions.
What is it about Rachel that makes him say, "Stop! You want a drink? I'll get you a drink. I'll get you a glass." Why doesn't he from the beginning just get out of here? Because now it's because she saved his life.
Because he was attracted to her before he found out. He thought she was pretty before he found out that she's a replicant.
And she also just proved herself to him by saving his life.
Right, but even before that, because he called her to come hang out, like he felt something for her before he even knew what she was. Just goes to show that stuff's not important. But then she says that line, "I am the business."
Right, I am the business, and I love this scene. So, I love this entire scene in his apartment. I wish I didn't do a show that breaks up the scene into 1 minute chunks,
because that's the point
of
that
whole scene. But okay, yeah, sure. This minute, that's when she says, "I am the business." That's a great classic.
So he's saying, that comes with the business of killing replicants. And she's like, "I'm not in the business. I am the business."
Yeah. And Deckard looks guilty. Comes back to him. Because he's the guy that
he doesn't know what to say.
He's the guy that told her she was a replicant. She's the one that reacted by abandoning Tyrell. Tyrell snitched her out to Bryant and Gaff and then added her to the list. And where's Tyrell in all this? He doesn't care?
Doesn't care. She's an experiment. We want to see what happens.
Nothing more.
I want to see the process.
Son of a bitch he is, that Tyrell.
And this scene has so much music and not a lot of dialogue.
I was about to say.
I'm sorry.
No. In a bonding way.
Oh,
that's okay. Cute. You said, yeah. The musical cue just as she says the line.
And it changes. And the music is so important in this movie. There's so much weight in the sounds you hear behind them. Mm-hmm. That music is really filling up every empty spot. There are no sounds of silence.
I have a quote.
Well, before you say your cute quote, can I say my last part of my thought?
Yes, you can.
There are so many instances where we forget why music is important in a film, where it just fades away. But this movie is such a good example of how the music does drive the plot and the emotion of the scene, that I can't imagine it being any other way, or pop music in there. That's something that someone could sing along to, because this music is part of the dialogue of the movie.
Of course.
I remember when I was a kid, I was watching some stupid show. Who knows? I watch a lot of documentaries where they took horror movies and instead of that classic, like, Jason music when he's like stalking people, do it.
Whatever. No, okay. I get it.
They put in like happy birthday songs or like very fairy things to show you how the music changes the tone.
Sure.
Or like the Freddy music, you know, that
and
you
hear
seen, it.
You've seen the E.T. clip, right? Where the end, when he's getting on the ship and saying goodbye to Elliot and the dog and everybody. But they don't play the John Williams score.
Mm.
So you don't have those bursts and swells of
and if this is this whole movie music. Is such a good example
this
of
is
why
similar
the music
to that.
Is necessary.
Yeah. I'm going to get his name wrong again. And I think Paul just shared with me a link.
He had two different ways to say it.
Pronunciation guide, and I'm still gonna get it wrong, but I'm gonna just call him Vangelis.
I think it's Evangeli.
I think it's a hard G now. Somebody told me.
Vangeli.
No, honey. Vangelis.
Vangelis. But it can't be S.
Vandelay.
Vandelay Industries.
This musical
music.
Score by Vandelay Industries is quite important to the entire film. Just equally as important as Harrison Ford, Sean Young, mm-hmm. Peoples, and the other guy that I can't seem to remember his name right now, and Ridley
Who?
Scott.
Hampton Fancher?
Hampton Fancher and David Peoples.
Okay. What was the little thing you wanted to tell us about music?
It's in the next minute.
Oh, you said a music. You had a cute quote.
I had a cute little thing that I was gonna go on about the music, but I'm going to split it up and save it for the next one.
Why?
Because it's kind of important to what Rachel does.
Okay. So we hear this beautiful music. There's still all these bright lights shining in.
Yeah.
And then Deckard walks to what is clearly a messy, messy bathroom.
Puts his glass down and walks away.
Puts his glass down because he finished it. There's no reason to hold it.
This is the most intimate moment they've had together so far, right? This is nice. This is sweet. She's not crying. He's not dropping bombs on her existentially.
I don't know if it's the most intimate.
She's not saving his life.
It's definitely the most weighted.
Or was the VK their most intimate moment?
That was very intimate. He really got to know her personality in there, I think.
So it's all been downhill since that VK.
But he goes into this messy, messy bathroom with towels everywhere.
It's not messy at all.
It's totally messy. He
cluttered
has towels.
Is not messy. See, you're a woman. You don't understand. We have a system, Sandra. The socks on the floor. See, I know what this is really all about. You want to talk about my socks on the floor in the living room.
They're not just in the living room.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They're stationed socks. I need short socks for the living room in case it gets cold. It's by my chair, by the bookshelves. Mm-hmm. If I'm reading something,
you have more than one pair there.
I keep a short pair and a long pair. The little short pair is for home. Long pairs, in case I forget them in the morning for work, because I wear work boots and I like to put on the long socks.
But they're not clean socks, any of these, and you're going to put on a pair of dirty pair of socks.
They're clean. They're clean, okay?
Did you take them off your feet?
Yes. Then once they're not or twice. Clean. They're clean up to
once
three.
Once or twice.
Up to three cycles, the socks are clean, Sandra.
Okay, so you have a pile near your armchair of a short pair and a long pair.
Deckard
more.
Has...
No, no. Tell them about the rest of your piles.
No,
he has
no,
a
no.
pair in the near the dining room table.
It's not the Pete Sock Minute.
He has
podcast.
Yes, it is. He has socks next to the couch because in case he moves from the chair to the couch and he needs them.
I do accidentally keep socks all over the house, and I apologize.
It's like he's marking his territory like a puppy.
No, I'm not. It's just that I get lazy and I take them off when I come home from work.
You also have the bag of garbage sitting in our bedroom. Sure. You emptied your paper waste bin.
I emptied my R2-D2 garbage bin.
And you leave that bag there, and there was one bag there that I did a test. It was there for a month until I threw it out because I just couldn't take it anymore.
You're just 100% right. I have no excuse.
Why are you so much nicer to me when we're doing this podcast than we are in real life?
Why are you,
can we just always record us?
Why are you hurting me with these accusations?
I think we need to live with, like, reality TV, like the cameras
all
the time.
Why are you doing this to us, Sandra?
Because I think you're nicer to me.
Deckard's bathroom.
Okay.
He's got a TV close to the ceiling.
Yeah, like those pop-down ones that, like, you see in SUVs
little,
and stuff.
Like, 8-inch, 7-inch,
to keep your
five...
kids from talking to you while you're driving.
Yeah, yeah, little screen.
It's but like it's all fuzzy.
Mounted to the ceiling.
Yeah,
but
it's
bit,
all
right?
fuzzy.
Well, there's nothing there right now.
But why is it even on then?
Because he's got to climb up 200 extra flights to adjust the bunny ears on the roof.
The roof.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
The roof is on fire.
The lights, that light, that big square light. Did you notice that big square light? I thought it was a skylight at first, then I realized he's in the middle of the building. But it's just a really cool...
It's bright. To have daylight when you're in the bathroom. Yeah. It would probably be a good feature if there was a lady at the house.
Bright light. Really bright.
Or anyone who's applying
giant
makeup.
Giant square light.
I want to talk about how he took his shirt off.
Well, hold on one second.
Okay.
Because I liked his bathroom.
Okay.
I got to admit, I loved the bathroom.
Okay.
I didn't see it as messy. I saw it as cluttered.
No.
But he had lots of soft, cushy towels.
Everywhere.
Hold on. I wrote a bunch of stuff down. There's an extendable mirror for shaving in the tub because in this minute... I don't see which one is his sink and which one is his tub, so I think that's the tub. And there is no sink at first.
There
is no sink.
Food.
So, but I'm corrected in the next minute, so that's okay. So I see that nice, cool, extendable mirror. Toilet on the right. Nice, clean toilet. Keeps the lid down.
How do you know it's clean?
It looked nice and clean to me.
That doesn't look clean.
Nice, shiny brown finish, like wood, like a walnut.
That's dirt.
Toilet. That's not dirt.
Dirt. It's dirt.
Extendable mirror for shaving in the tub. Toilet on the right. Tub on the left. It looks covered like a pool in the winter to me. In this minute. Before we get in and he's like splashing
his face. I clearly knew where the sink was.
I was looking at it and I just couldn't really... I'm making a motion, like a sloping upward motion with my hand right now. Because it's just that left side of the bathroom that was kind of covered by the wall. Looked weird to me.
It clearly looked like a basin to me.
Indiscernible? Did I just invent that?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Then I couldn't tell the difference between a sink or a tub, or it just looked like a thing that was covered.
Okay.
So I assumed it was his tub with a bunch of towels on top of it. Does Deckard bathe seasonally? Is that why he has the pool cover over his bathtub?
I didn't notice. I can't answer you. I can't answer that.
You
know, I don't
know.
You
open the pool in the morning.
Oh, I get
this
it.
This is an epic joke right now. This is huge. This is going to break the internet.
Okay, go ahead.
So if... No, that was it. That was the joke.
Oh.
If his bathtub is covered like a pool, then he must only bathe seasonally.
Maybe the cover's there so it could be like a shower or it could be a bathtub.
Well, there is no cover. I just mistook his sink for...
That was a really high tub. I don't know how you could mistake that for anything but a sink.
With
it was
the
so
towels
high.
Draped over it, right?
Yeah, on the left side. There was like towels hanging on the edge. It
I
clearly
I
looked
wasn't
like,
noticing, I guess.
I was like... Who would have a tub that, like you're saying this, I'm like, who would have a tub that high? Like, what does he literally climb in on, like, staircases?
And he's got all sorts of gadgets and gizmos. There's a phone next to the toilet.
Never call me from
that
phone.
Which is gross. Totally
never,
gross.
Like in Friends, never call me from that phone.
That was Joey, right? Joey had a phone in the bathroom. Go on. Deckard's getting undressed.
So Deckard walks into there, and he takes his coat off, and I would like it to be known that he had a drink before taking his coat off. Like, let's talk about that.
The bottle's in the bathroom,
he came,
by the way.
He came into the house, immediately poured them drinks, drank his drink, right? He drank it.
He drank
it, like
Irina
says.
He drank his drink.
He drank his drink. And then, only then, took his coat off. I understand he went through a traumatic experience right now, but he is clearly an alcoholic.
Yeah, he's got problems. He's definitely got problems. If you're... Sorry, I picked up the microphone. I'm going to put it back down.
So...
To me, that's just... the man... To me, that's just an awesome noir detective thing for him to have open, empty bottles everywhere you turn in any angle in this apartment. But in all seriousness, Deckard needs help. Deckard needs an AA sponsor.
But wait, getting past that.
Yeah.
So he takes his coat off, and then he's wearing this color block shirt. You know, one color on the top, one color on the bottom.
Yeah, which I love.
Color block shirt with like a skinny tie.
I love
tie.
All of Deckard's clothes.
You would never wear this stuff, so don't even buy.
I'll wear it.
And then he goes to take...
This guy on the corner looks like Doctor Who. Got the hat and the scarf. You'll see him when he walks past
this... Okay, but I want this van to be the picture for this minute.
When he walks past this rape van... That's parked in front of us.
It's not a rape van.
This van with black...
From North Carolina.
This blacked out windowed van with graffiti all over it for something not always sunny is totally a rape van.
Bad. He goes to take his shirt off, right? This color block shirt. I think they're like shades of burgundy or something. And when most people take their shirt off, don't you pull from the bottom up?
Yes.
Right. He didn't do that. He did that thing that they only ever do in movies. I've never seen anyone do it in real life.
He turned himself into a gel and squished out of the top. I hated that part.
No, he pulled it from the back up like the hockey fights.
Yeah.
Where you pull the back over. I've only seen people do that in movies, and the only thing I can think of is they make them do that.
Doctor Who.
He does look like Doctor Who. That's an awesome hat. That's Indiana Jones incognito, because look at his hat.
I love it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Perfect timing. I've only ever seen it in movies, and I think it's because your body looks better when you're pulling it that way rather than leaning over with your gut hanging.
Yeah, I bet you Ryan Gosling did it in 2049. We'll find out.
I feel like we need to do a podcast where we find every instance of people taking off their shirt, pulling from the back
rather than
the bottom.
I can't do that because my shirt will get stuck on my fat, my muffin top, whatever it's called, the love handles.
Okay, so wait. After everyone hears this minute, I want everyone to tell me if you take your shirt off by pulling from the bottom up, or if you go from your back and pull it over your head.
Also, when you're out and about, take pictures of people who you think look like Doctor Who. What happened?
I want that pretzel.
Should we eat the pretzel?
I don't want to make noise in the microphone.
Go ahead. I'm not cutting that out, by the way. I want them to hear.
They told me I can chew.
I want them to hear your gluttony. This lady's about to get murdered.
I don't know, but I think she wants to be on our podcast.
Why is she so close to my car?
Go on.
All right. Take some pictures. That was stupid. I was going to tell them to take pictures of Doctor Who looking people. That was ridiculous. What the hell is wrong?
He has a swear word on the rape van.
Yeah, it's F something. Terrorists or purists? Or...
I don't know. Anyway, move on. So he takes his shirt off.
Rachel,
over the back.
Rachel's...
Wait, no, I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
On his back, he has the gun. There's no salt on it.
So, the pretzels.
Okay. He has his gun holstered to his back.
Mm-hmm. Never takes his gun off around her.
Never takes the gun off. She clearly gave him back the gun, right?
Mm-hmm. All kinds of trust going on in this minute.
And she's staring at him, right? She's looking at him.
She looks like she has something to say.
She looks like she's waiting for an opportunity to say something. And there's beep-boop noises in the background. Beep-boop.
I noted music. Like a futuristic touch-tone phone dialing.
Beep boop.
Fantastic. I actually wrote that. So if you're, however you're watching this movie, folks, you better be using either headphones on your laptop or tablet or phone or whatever, or have an awesome sound bar or some kind of surround sound system, because the music that's popping up in just this minute alone is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Right.
So then he leans over the sink and he starts putting the water on his face.
No, it ends when she looks down on the floor.
Nuh-uh.
Yep.
Uh-uh.
Yep.
Okay. I think you and I have a discrepancy about where the minute
ends. We do. I can count. And you have a problem.
No, because to me, we started from 0 to 1, right? And then the minute would end
59.
At that. See, that's
Well, if
you
stopped at 59, you wouldn't have seen him at the sink.
I think that's the difference.
Now you get me angry.
That's what I'm saying. I think we counted.
Now you get me upset.
That's why I think we always have this argument of where it starts and where it ends, because...
What do you got me in a pay-no-mind list, kid? You even don't act like you don't know where that's from.
I know what it's from. Are we done with the mirror?
Jerry Maguire.
Yes. Minute. It's from Greece. So I think that's all we have for this minute, yes?
Can't be.
How can't it be?
There's got to be more stuff.
What other stuff?
It's a 20-minute episode. What are we, amateurs? What is this, 2018? When we used to do those 20-minute episodes? No.
We did 7-minute episodes.
We got to have 40 more minutes left in us.
40 more minutes? Do they want me to pick the pretzel out of my teeth? Because that was a really hard pretzel.
Wow, we really machine gun through this description. Maybe because we're in the car and we're like confined right now.
No, it's just there's not a lot of dialogue here.
Have you noticed?
There's only so much
When I listen back on this, I bet you I'm going to notice that it's quieter in the car in Manhattan, on a busy Manhattan street.
I don't think so.
Than it is in our friggin' apartment.
But I have to tell you, watching the people go by.
You people
like,
watching?
We saw a beautiful St. Bernard puppy. Did you see that St. Bernard puppy? I almost lost it.
Yeah.
He was so fuzzy.
Yeah, just to reiterate, guys, we're in our car parked on West 38th Street and 5th Avenue in Manhattan waiting for our daughter to get out of her cult-like Girl Scout meeting.
It's not
so
cult.
It's
a world-thinking day. And they said they're going to be giving them samples of that new cookie that we can't get around here.
There's a new cookie?
It's a new cookie. It's a caramel chocolate chip. It's gluten-free, but nobody seems to notice. But it's only like the size of a silver dollar.
What exactly is gluten? Is that like wheat?
It's the stuff that's in wheat that binds it.
And people are allergic to that.
Some people can't process it. Like, some people can't process lactose and stuff like that.
Can't process? Or
Some people have allergies to it. Some people can't process it. And then there's other people who are just like, I'm going to live healthier by being gluten-free, not to insult anyone.
Don't make fun of gluten-free people.
I am going to make fun of them because there's no reason for them to actually do it unless you have an allergy or, like, some kind of sensitivity. If you just want to try to live gluten-free, go right ahead, but it wouldn't really benefit you for the things that you're thinking of. You just may feel less bloated because you're eating less bread, which is generally a good thing.
Here's what I'm taking away from the last 7 seconds of conversation with you. You need your own podcast.
Why do you say
that? Sandra calls it like she sees it.
I see it.
No fucking around with Sandra. That's what it is. That's what it's called.
I wouldn't call it something with a swear, though.
And you're just rubbing gluten in people's faces.
I wouldn't
petting strangers' dogs.
I got no problem with people living gluten-free. I also have no problem with vegans. But,
do they still have to worry about gluten in Los Angeles 2019 in Blade Runner? No, right?
I don't know.
It's all
do
synthetic
they grow?
Food.
Yeah, do they grow weed? But I'm sure you need gluten is even found in like my lipstick and stuff like that. So remember,
so gluten is like a gelatin. It's like a
no. It's just one of the components of like it's just the it's naturally occurring in most foods.
You don't sound like you know what it is either.
Because it's a made up thing.
It's not. I think you just. You've just been talking shit the past 2 minutes. Yeah. I asked you a legit question about gluten.
It's a.
You don't even know what it is. Just say I don't know.
It's the binder that naturally occurs for certain things that you
You're
grow.
A binder.
They can artificially add it as well, but that's not what we're talking about.
All right, I'm shutting this thing down.
Oh my God.
Ladies
Sandra
and gentlemen.
Sandra tells it like it is. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for joining us for the 65th minute.
Of Sandra
I think
it
was.
Like it is.
Let me make sure I didn't flip. 65th. Yes, it was the 65th minute. All right, love you guys. See you later. Such pain and such pleasure.